one of the first genetic treatments for sickle cell disease, is drawing a lot of excitement. But a year after the FDA approved it, not so many people are signing up. NPR health correspondent Rob Stein found out why.
Alade Adekanbi has been struggling with sickle cell all her young life.
It's almost like I'm battling myself, sort of like a dark, I don't know if we'd call it like evil within me, sometimes it feels like.
The 29-year-old Boston woman was born with a genetic mutation that deforms her red blood cells, ravaging her body and causing unpredictable, debilitating attacks of agonizing pain.
It gets to the point sometimes where you're like, I cannot continue living this way. You feel like you're losing your mind because sometimes I just can't move. I just lay in one spot and try to distract myself from the pain.
So she's thrilled that scientists have developed the first genetic treatments for sickle cell.
I'm very excited for the possibilities. This is probably the best time in history right now for sickle cell patients.
But Adekanbi is on the fence about whether she wants to get treated. Why? A bunch of reasons. One big one, the procedures require chemotherapy to make room for genetically modified cells in her bone marrow, and that chemo could hurt her chances of ever having kids.
I know I would like to have children in the, not too near, but in the future. And so I'm really nervous about how that will affect fertility.
There's a lot of excitement about the cutting-edge genetic procedures, and Adekanbi would try to save some of her eggs to try to have children later on if she proceeds. But only about 60 of the tens of thousands of patients who are eligible because they have sickle cell or a related blood condition have started the process, for lots of reasons. Melissa Creary studies sickle cell technologies at the University of Michigan School of Public Health.
You could be in the hospital for months. Even if you're not in the hospital, you'll have to be nearby the hospital, which could or could not be in the state that you live in. And then once therapy is finished, there is a very complex process of follow-up for many, many months. Again, potentially in a state that you don't live in.
And then there's the price tag. $2 or $3 million for each patient. Sickle cell disproportionately affects Black people. Many are less affluent.
The cost continues to be a huge barrier, this financial barrier of gene therapy in terms of getting it to the people who need it the most.
And some patients worry about long-term risks, according to Dr. Louis Hsu, chief medical officer at the Sickle Cell Association of America.
What's going to happen to me 10, 20 years out? Will I have failure of the gene therapy products? They won't be persisting in my system for that long. Or will there be some secondary leukemia? We don't have good information right now because nobody's been out that long.
Both genetic therapies appear safe so far. Still, it's not surprising that it's taking a while to get the treatments out there, given how daunting they can be. Both companies that make the treatments, Vertex Pharmaceuticals and Bluebird Bio, say interest is accelerating. Dozens of hospitals are ready to offer the procedures in the U.S., Europe, and the Middle East, and more are coming online. In addition, more and more government and private insurers are agreeing to pay for them. Stuart Arbuckle runs Vertex.
For sure, it is a very significant decision for a patient to embark on this journey. But I would say it's going really well. The reaction we've had from payers, from physicians and patients has been terrifically exciting. So it's a terrifically exciting time.
The first time I heard about it, I was kind of uncertain about it.
Deshaun Chow is 19 and lives in Irvine, California. He got through all the insurance coverage hurdles, tests, and procedures, and is on track to get his genetically modified cells at the City of Hope Children's Cancer Center in Los Angeles by the end of the year.
I'm hoping that it will change my life.
Rob Stein, NPR News.